Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Just a couple of grandpas hanging out.
Yes.
Talking about stuff.
Hello, Henry.
That's...
Big Papa's here.
Hello, Katie. Hello, Amy. Hello, Everett. Hello, Bennett. Those are my four.
Ernie, I got to give you and Clark Kellogg credit.
Yep. We did not oversell grandparenthood.
You said, you and Clark said, Chuck is going to change your life.
Yes.
And that little man has changed my life.
It's
surreal.
It's an amazing, thing. And you know what else is amazing? The fourth season of The Steam Room.
Man, I can't believe it. It's been so much fun. I'm glad to be back.
Yeah, I am too.
Yeah.
And I've seen you since then, but it is. It's kind of a season-driven podcast. When the NBA season starts, we start.
We were fresh and ready to go.
When June comes around, we're like, enough of that. See y'all in October.
Yes.
So we're glad. But see, once you have membership as a loyal steamer, you never have to renew or anything like that. There were no, restrictions apply. That doesn't, once you're a loyal steamer, you're always in. So welcome back.
Thank you, brother.
To our podcast. And if you're by chance new to the podcast, we always begin with Chuck's favorite phrase, which is, first of all,
hey, somebody hand me that, please. So, guys, I got this really nice note today. First of all, season four. I remember you put Heinz 57 on everything, Chuck. Want to give you some thank you, Cap.
Michael Kaplan is Cap. He's our producer.
What's wrong with this picture, America? This was sitting outside my locker day when I checked in. Do y'all notice
something? I have the answer.
Yes.
There are no tops on the Heinz 57 bottles.
Cap, can you explain to me why there's no caps on my Heinz 57s?
No cap.
It didn't come this way. Stop lying.
Well, it's still sealed for your
sealed,
for your safety.
But thank goodness. But so
it apparently is sealed.
Cap, please, next time you get me some caps, bring some caps with my Heinz 57. But I want to say thank you and welcome to season four.
How long will it take you to go through those two?
Well, any steak or chicken, I'm putting that on it.
Is that going to go in the green room, or are you going to have those?
I keep it in my locker because I order chicken every night.
Yeah. So you keep the Heinz 57 in your locker.
Yeah.
Not out where you're going to eat.
No, because other people use it.
Okay. And you don't refrigerate it?
I probably should, but I don't.
Does it say refrigeration is suggested
I don't want other people using my stuff.
Well, they won't. You keep it unrefrigerated. If it's supposed to be refrigerated, nobody's going to want to use it.
I've been doing it for 10 years.
That explains a lot.
Ernie, can I get to my, first of all,
I
stuff?
Wish you would.
I got a list here. Unfortunately, we heard the news about Brittany Griner today that she lost her appeal.
Right.
Man, I'm just thinking about her and her wife, and that's a crazy situation. You're dealing with a crazy person over there in Russia. So I want them to let her know that we were thinking about her. I know she had a birthday a couple of weeks ago. We acknowledged on the show. And just wishing her the best.
And it's a 9-year sentence which she appealed, which was denied. And so now the word was she will be going to a penal colony.
Which is apparently really bad.
It's if you look that up online, you will see various descriptions from people who have been there to describe the conditions. And, it's
crazy.
It's a labor. Yeah. It's kind of a labor camp thing. And the treatment as the descriptions of some of the treatment there are not good. So I saw the State Department spokesman was talking about the fact that they're still talking with the Russian government, trying to work something out, but she's gone from this all-star player to a political pawn.
Yeah, it's crazy. So I want to give a shout out to two of the greatest who hung him up recently, the great Roger Federer and the great Serena Williams. You know, Serena's the greatest female tennis player ever, one of the greatest female athletes of all time. And watching her the last 20-some years has just been amazing. And I love Venus.
Did I see something that about Serena that she might play again? I thought I saw, you know what, and I'll have to admit, I was watching the news this morning, and they went to commercial with that, and then I never saw the story.
Yeah.
But they were saying something like, hey, she may be coming back, so I don't.
Well, hopefully she won't. Retire gracefully, and she's the best. And Roger Federer, you know, obviously there's going to be a debate between Nadal and Djokovic, who's the greatest. Obviously Serena is the greatest in for the women. But, man, Roger Federer just carried himself with so much dignity and class. I just want to acknowledge, when he was going through that run where he was totally unbeatable, that was one of the great things I've ever seen in history. And I saw that story where him and Tiger were together. You like the two best at what they were doing at the time. And it was pretty surreal and special. And last and definitely not least, how can y'all mess up college football? College football, I love the NFL, but I love college football.
And boxing.
And boxing. You know, football and boxing are my two favorite sports. You know that.
So where's college football?
You know, I put college and pro football in the same category.
Oh, okay.
But I'm concerned that these idiots and fools and jackasses who run college football are going to ruin it. We need a commissioner of college sports because they're ruining these sports, man.
How are they ruining college football?
These kids are going to start playing too many games, Ernie. If you're going to expand this playoff, these guys are playing like two or three more football games. That's not safe for these guys. I love college football. You know I love my Auburn Tigers. We're struggling right now, but I'm with them through thick and thin, no matter what. But to ask these young kids to play two or three more football games, somebody's going to get hurt. Football is already crazy enough as it is. At least in the NFL, when they added a game, you know, guys were making millions of dollars. That's probably too many. You know, guys will tell you, because you see all these football players beating up bodies, CTE.
How about cutting down on the regular season game?
100% is the right thing to do. We don't need to be playing Northeast Louisiana. No disrespect to Northeast Louisiana.
And none taken.
None taken. But we need to have somebody come in and says, guys, if we're going to expand the playoffs, let's play less regular season games.
I'm with you.
I mean, but to ask these guys, especially, and no disrespect to the Big Ten and the Pac-12 and all those, the SEC is like a minefield. If you have to play all those SEC schools and then play an extra two or three games, somebody's going to get hurt badly. So shorten the regular season. Get some independent people out there. Put the best teams in the playoffs. But do not make these kids play two or three extra football games.
Do you think expanding the playoff is a good thing?
Yes. I think it's a good thing if you shorten the regular season.
Yeah. But, I mean, including more teams
than
the four that you've got.
But
right now,
because
aren't you always going to have somebody saying, but how did you leave these guys out?
Well,
you could have 36 teams in there and say, yeah, but the 37th team should have been in there.
That's like the NCAA tournament.
I know.
Nobody runs around saying I'm number 69 and 70, Ernie.
Oh, they do it all the time.
That don't make it right.
They do it all the time.
Yes,
every time the bracket comes up, how did you leave us out?
It drives me crazy when that happens.
Yeah.
Like, first of all, they discriminate against the smaller schools. They finally had a breakthrough last year with Cincinnati. But the smaller schools don't have a chance because they're going to take the four biggest schools. So if you expand the playoffs, I think you can say, okay, nobody complained.
We
gave six other slots.
We're the small school that should have been instead of that other small school.
Yes.
You're still going to get some bitching and moaning.
You are. But if you expand the field, you can at least say, well, because every year that's probably one team, maybe two, that has a legitimate gripe. But I believe in expanding the playoffs, but you got to shorten the regular season.
How big would the expansion have to be to get Auburn into the playoff?
It's too soon, Ernie. It's too soon.
I apologize. As soon as that came out my mouth,
you
I was
to
like,
it back in?
I was like, I shouldn't have said
it's,
that to Chuckster.
Hey, Auburn,
that's
love,
no way
hey,
to start season
Auburn,
four.
I love you no matter what.
That's no way to start season four. I apologize.
Okay, thank you, Ernie. And Ernie.
And go Dogs. And what?
I tell you what, though. You guys are starting to pick it up again.
It's going to be a very interesting Georgia-Tennessee game.
Oh, you interesting. Because let me tell you something. That Alabama-Tennessee game was one of the best football games I've seen in a long time.
Mm-hmm.
I watched that thing from beginning to end.
Especially if you're a fan of defense.
Yeah, that was one of the best games. And actually, the Utah-USC game was fabulous that night, too.
I don't want to look past Georgia-Florida. That's always fun. That's always
Florida ain't going to be. Come on,
no,
man.
It's a grudge match.
But think about Florida. They got Underdog and Alex. Losers.
Two of our co-workers, and you know them well. Joe Underhill, researcher. Alex Hooverus, paint box artiste extraordinaire.
Artiste? Well, he work at Subway? He's a sandwich artiste?
way to work
but,
that
but,
in.
Yes. But Georgia-Tennessee is going to be. Where's that game at?
I believe that's tween the hedges, is it Ooh. Not? Isn't that twixt the hedges? Ooh. I believe it is. Anyway.
Man. So,
but I digress.
If you're going to expand the playoffs, you got to shorten the regular season because it's just these are young kids. They're not pros. They're not grown men. And like I say, you know, obviously we have a big issue with CTE in the NFL. But these college kids, they don't have no union or anything to fall back upon. A lot of these kids are going to be beat up and have brain damage, and they're going to be just roaming around in society. So I love the game, but let's protect these players and don't just look at the bottom line.
Gotcha, Chuckster. That's first of all. We are underway. Season four.
Yes!
When we come back, our first guest of season four, who is joining the family here. You'll see him on Tuesday nights beginning in January. There's a tease.
Man.
We welcome you back to the steam room.
Man, I miss that so much.
Yeah, I know. As we bring our first guest of season four.
First guest of season four. A special, special guest. A teammate.
He is a teammate now. And he's the only guy. I'm going to say only guy because I don't think anybody else has done it. Only guy in NBA history to score 50 in a game with four different teams.
Wow, that's impressive.
Yeah.
That's incredible, actually.
It is. It is. And his name is Jamal Crawford. And he's part of the Tuesday crew that begins in January with Adam Lefko and Candace Parker and Shaq.
Well, two of my favorite people, Candace and Adam.
Yeah, well, you can keep your problems with Shaq to yourself for now.
I don't have a problem with Shaq.
But he's not one of your favorite people.
I just don't like him.
Okay, well, that seems to me like you have a problem with him.
No. You can do it.
Nobody has a problem with Jamal Crawford. Nobody has a problem with Jamal.
They do not.
Welcome to the family, man.
Hey, thank you so much. That's a heck of an introduction. I don't know if I can top that.
No, and how about this? 20 years in the NBA, all with the same team. Oh, no, that's not right. There was drafted by Cleveland, traded to Chicago, then traded to the Knicks, traded to Golden State, signed with Portland, signed with the Clippers, Minnesota, Phoenix. Did I cover them all?
And in the bubble. I don't know if you want to count the bubble or not.
Oh, you're one game in the bubble.
One game in the bubble.
With Brooklyn.
Yeah, got me 20 years.
And three-time Sixth Man of the Year.
20 years is amazing.
Yes, indeed.
Because number one, not only you have to be good, but you also had to keep yourself in fantastic shape.
Well, he looks like he can still play.
I know 42. When you get older as a player, it's hard to keep the same weight you were 10 years ago.
Is that true, Jamal?
Very true. Chuck is spot on with that. You have to change your lifestyle, and it becomes a lifestyle. Your diet, how you live. I remember I hated drinking water, and my wife tricked me. She started giving me the water with the little packets in it. And that's lemonade. It was really water. And she weaned me off that. Whole Foods became a big component, and you just have to be blessed. And when how you play, I think style of play helped me, especially as the league transitioned to being less physical as well. So, yeah, all those things added to 20 years.
So I've been through this depression.
Yes.
When you have to hang it up. It's traumatic. It hurts. How did you handle that period? Because it's hard to say, hey, I'm retiring. I'm not playing. Because you've done something since you were probably 12 years old. And then, yes. Then one day you're like, it's over, man. How did you go through that depression?
It absolutely is depression, Chuck. Some days you wake up, you're like, okay, this is the day the call's going to come. And other days you're like, man, why am I not playing? Then watching the game becomes harder to do as well because you have all these emotions. And my last official game in the arena was 50 points. And that month, I actually averaged 30 points and 6 assists off the bench. It's my highest scoring month of my career. So I didn't think I would be a star, but I at least thought I showed enough that I would be able to, you know, get another run. And it didn't happen. Even when COVID hit and guys started coming out the woodworks to get a look, it didn't happen for me. So that part was depressing. But then I started coaching my son, and that gave me a whole other outlook. I threw everything into that. And coaching those kids, they all became like my kids, to be honest with you. 3 days a week practice, film sessions. And to see 12-year-olds learn the game and learn different things and things they'll need later on in their careers was unbelievable for me. And I think I needed them even more than they needed me to be their coach.
So when you're coaching these kids, are you – see, this is a delicate balance as a coach, as a guy who's been really, really successful, had a hell of a career – are you just telling those kids to have fun, or you're like, I want them to learn the game the right way? Because that is actually two different things.
Totally different things. And I promised the parents this. I said, they're going to learn to be great young men. They're going to become better basketball players. And they'll continue to enjoy this journey, this process. They'll have fun. They're going to have highs and lows, but we'll have more highs and lows, even if we don't win the game that particular night. Long term, this is going to pay off for them. And that was so important to me that they had a solid foundation. So when I'm not coaching them, they can go on and enjoy what they're trying to do.
What's your best memory of growing up in Seattle and watching the Sonics?
Oh, man. So I used to work in Key Arena. That's now Climate Pledge. And I was the kid who actually brought up food from the basement to the concession stand. And so it's normally a 10-minute trip, take the food up, come down. I made it a 30-minute trip. I would look at Gary Payton. I would look at, you know, Sean Kemp and those guys and just dream about being out there. And it helped make my dreams reality. You know what I mean? I'm like, it's that close to me. One day I want to be out there with those guys. I remember when I was a kid, I said, the NBA doesn't have to pay me. I'll pay them to play in the NBA. I want it so bad. So to be that close to it, they helped inspire me.
Well, you know what? I've said this before. Chicago Stadium, Seattle, and Boston Garden are probably the three toughest arenas I've ever had to play in. It's a travesty and a disgrace that they don't have a team there, because I see the same energy and emotion when I watch the Seahawks play, the 12th man.
Yes.
Seattle just got an amazing fan base. We played them a lot when I was in Phoenix, and we played them in a 7-game series to get to the finals. And I says, I've never been in a tougher, more fun environment. And so, man, I feel you about Key Arena. And playing against the Gloves, Sam Perkins and those guys, Nate McMillan, and one of my favorite coaches, George Karl. Man, Seattle, I hope one of these days they get an NBA team.
I do as well. And you had to bring up bad memories about you guys taking us out to get to the finals that year. But now they absolutely deserve a team, and we deserve a team, because it helped shape the whole generation of players. And now we don't have that. So that's why my pro-am is so important to the city right now, because these kids have never seen a LeBron James. They have to go on, you know, TNT to watch him, or they have to go on NBA 2K to play and see that, you know, he's not a real character until they see him in real life. And so when they see him, not only are they dreaming, it gives hope. Like, this guy is really here in front of me for free. And I always ask the kids in the community who they want to see, and I try to go out and get them, because I know that they've never seen some of their favorite players in person.
What's it going to take to get the NBA back in Seattle?
You know what? We were a city that lost our team, and I would hate to see anybody do that. So I guess expansion. I feel like there's enough talent right now in the NBA and with young guys coming up that, you know, there's veterans out there as Nets on right now. But I would love to see an expansion team, and maybe, you know, it's a team on the West Coast and they have to move a team that's further in the West to the East. But I would love to see that happen. I think one day it will happen. I remember when they left, I said, it'll be back in 5 years. I truly believe within the next 5 years, they'll be back this time.
You know, when you have your expansive career, you've seen a lot. I want you to answer these questions here, three of them.
Okay.
Best coach you played for, best player you played with, Best player you played against?
Best coach I played for, I would say, from a teaching standpoint, it was Larry Brown. He was an unbelievable teacher, so detailed. And some of the things he taught me, I'm actually teaching my kids now that I coach. Most fun to play for, I would say, was Dr. Isaiah, because they were players. And that's what I learned about myself, especially being a scorer and a guy who didn't play defense. They didn't hold what I didn't do well against me. They put me in positions to be successful. So I would say those two guys were the most fun to play for.
Hey, before you go further, stop right there. Because I think you just said something that's really important. And I want all these jackass coaches out here to hear this. Repeat what you just said. Because I think it's really important.
They didn't hold what I didn't do against me. You play for certain coaches like, oh, he's not a defender. You know I wasn't a defender when you signed me and brought me here. My offense is my defense. So put me in position to bring that to the team. And they never held what I didn't do against me. They were always able to adjust. Oh, you like going right more? Okay, we're going to switch your plays up to go to your right hand. We're not going to hold that you can't go left as well against you. And so those guys that actually played at that level understood that. They know I could go 0-3. It doesn't mean I have off game. It means, okay, I'm closer to getting hot. They're going to ride with me. And I really enjoyed that, and I try to pawn that on my young guys. And then I would say best player I ever played against was Kobe. I actually have a shirt. I don't know if you guys can see it. I have two legends of MJ and Kobe on here. I was on with two legends. I'm on here. So I had to pay homage. I always love paying homage to the guys that came before me. But Kobe was just – he was from another planet. His mentality. He could go 0-10, and it didn't deter him to take the game with a shot. He left it all on the court. He played with his heart. And you guys know, when you're in those arenas, he put a certain fear in you and made your fans his fans. He would do something special and incredible, and he just wasn't scared to fail. So I love Kobe Bryant for being the best player I played against.
No, both guys on that shirt, and Chuck, you know, there were certain guys who, when they touched the ball, a buzz goes through the arena. I mean, yes. And it can be at any – Jamal, it could be at any point in the game. It could be a 20-point game at that time. But when those guys touched the ball, there was an anticipation you could feel in an arena and a buzz that went with it.
And it's just amazing because they wanted to – they knew they were performers. They knew they were some of the greatest of all time, even when they were playing. In real time, they knew that. So they wanted to just dominate you. They wanted to rip your heart out and hand it to you like, look, this is what I did to you in front of all your friends. And they just were amazing. Kobe was from another planet, and MJ, you know, he speaks for himself. I see the shoes, Ernie. When I see Ernie, I always look at his shoes first to see what he has on, and then I go from there.
Well, yeah, I look at his shoes first because I don't want to look at his face.
Hey, and you know, when I see Charles, I look at the creases in his jeans. I don't look at his face. Do you have creases in your jeans?
Somebody told me this means they old man jeans. Oh,
they are extremely old man jeans.
The creases went out in the 90s, Ernie. Those left a long time ago.
You like those, though?
Shout out to my tailor. Tailor made me a bunch of jeans because I can't get jeans off the racks. He made me about 20 pair of jeans.
Well, how old is your tailor, 108?
It's hard to, hey, when you got a big ass and big legs, it's hard to find jeans to fit. They don't come off the rack, Ernie. Must be nice just go to a store and just grab something.
It is.
That crease may cut you. You touch it the wrong way.
Hey, somebody actually told me that, too. I didn't even know that. He says, yo, man, do you have creases in your jeans? I said, yeah. He says, you know, those from like the 80s and 90s. I said, yeah, man, can't get jeans off the rack, man.
You know who it is who said that?
Who?
Everybody. So how are you getting ready for your TV career, Jamal?
I'm just watching and learning and studying. I'm watching you guys. I actually had a couple questions for both of you guys, one each. But we can get to that whenever you want.
It doesn't matter. We're just sitting around talking.
All right. So for you, Ernie, there's a lot of athletes that are outspoken. Right. Like they say stuff, you know, people like them. Chuck is one of the ones that everybody gravitates towards because he's real. He's authentic. At what point did you know he would be special?
I would say one show in. I really did.
Really?
I really did.
Thank you both of you guys.
No, but here was my concern, Jamal. I said, okay, he's...
Can I tell the story?
Look, he's always been... Just a second. He's always been the most quotable guy out there. Always been. And so is that gonna happen when he gets on TV? Because I've seen a million athletes who, when you see him doing a post-game interview or you see him, you know, behind the scenes, boy, look at his personality. He'd be great on TV. And all of a sudden, the red light goes on and it's like...
Yeah. We see that a lot. We see that a lot on NBA TV.
Yeah. So that was one concern, and for no reason. And then the other was, when the novelty wears off, will the Chuckster say, "Okay, I tried that. That's enough." So I guess the novelty, 20-something years, the novelty, it's not an issue. But no, he's been himself the whole time, which is key. You just got to be yourself. And I think Chuck's done that, and much to the benefit of our show.
Well, I tell you what's funny. I can't remember. It was like a month or two in, Jamal, and Ernie pulls me aside, and he said, "Yo, Chuck, be honest with me. How long are you going to be here?" And I looked at it with a straight face. I said, "Ernie, I'm gonna be here 2 years, and then I'm gone. I'm gonna be running the NBA team, blah blah blah."
Right.
And
then,
hey, 22 years later, I'm still stuck here,
sitting in a leather chair.
Yes. Hey, right. But he did. He pulled me aside one night. He said, "Yo, be honest with me. How long are you gonna be here?" And I looked at him with a straight face. I said, "Ernie, 2 years max."
Wow.
And like, now I'm here, man, because, you know, when we made the video for you about a month or so ago, what I said to you in that video, I says, "Yo, man, welcome to the family. You're going to have the greatest time working at Turner. I've been here 22 years. It's like a family. Everybody gets along well. You know, me and Shaq, we like having fun going at each other. He loves coming at me. I love coming at him. But Kenny and Ernie are like brothers to me. Ernie's a god. He's the older brother, just for the record. But coming to work, you're going to get to know all the people on the show. Because, like, you don't get to know them a lot. You're going to get to know them a little bit during the regular season. But when you're together for, like, 6 weeks in the playoffs, you're like, man, Snyder's still here? Oh, my God, Victoria. You know, like, you see the same makeup girls every week. So you're going to realize that joining our family, man, is going to be one of the best fun things ever happened to you.
So what's your question for Chuckster?
Yeah, Chuck, obviously you played with KJ. Stockton had Malone, obviously, but you didn't play with, no disrespect to KJ, because he was great, but more of a scoring point guard. You didn't play with Isaiah or Stockton or Magic. When you came to this side, Ernie obviously is the best point in the business. When did you recognize that? We know Ernie from a distance, right? Even though he's great. When did you know you were absolutely running with the best point guard on TV?
It's going to sound really, really quickly, because first of all, I knew it because me and Kenny got two totally different personalities.
Right.
So, but I knew right away because, man, I didn't know all the bullshit he had to do. it is so much to go into doing the show that me, Kenny, and Ernie got zero idea that's happening. And then when you sit around and you talk to TK, you talk to Fiorello, you talk to Craig, you talk to Howard, you talk to Jeremy, and you're like, "Yo, man, Ernie got a lot of stuff." They're like, "You have no idea how much," because it is segments. We don't even think about it. He got to know when to go to commercials, what we're going to talk about here, there. And I was like, "Yo, man," and I said this publicly, I'll say it to you now, Ernie's actually like the only guy on the show who really works.
I was going to say that. When I came to field in for you, not to cut you off, we're all in the back, you know, in between games and stuff, at halftime. And Ernie's the only one on set, like, still, like, working. And I'm like, oh, so I'm paying attention to everything. I'm like, wow, okay, success leaves clues. It's no mistake of why he is who he is.
Okay, look, we all got jobs. I love my job, and I appreciate the kind words, Jamal, but it's all about knowing – What's my responsibility on that show? Am I there to tell the fans what it's like to be in a huddle with 1.6 seconds to go in a game? No, because I ain't been there. But my job is to get the guys who have been there to tell about that and to try to move the conversation along so you guys can be who you are.
Selfless point guard.
Yeah. Now, you use the term point guard. I says he's the best director.
Yeah.
Because I actually love what you said. There's some great analogies I always use. I talk to college kids a lot, and I told you, I used to analogy last week, and Shaq, like, man, I love what Popovich said. You know, and he said, when did Kawhi become a great player? He says, when I called a play, he realized it was for the Spurs to score, not just him. That's something that a player needs to learn. The second thing is what you just said about so many coaches worry about what guys can't do instead of putting them in a position to be successful. One of my favorite players of all time is Tyson Chandler. And me and Kenny, we had, you know, we the thing is what's crazy. We talk to coaches, general managers all the time. They want to know something. They want to pick our brain. And it's always a private conversation. I would never divulge our conversation because it's always private. But this one guy, general manager, says to me one time, and I was telling Kenny about it, he says, you know, I'm not a big Tyson Chandler fan. And I'm like, why are you not a big Tyson Chandler fan? He says, well, all you can do is play defense and rebound. And I looked at him like, what do you mean? He says, I need some guys out there who can score. I said, you need defense and rebounding too, don't you? So many coaches out there talk about things you can't do. Tyson Chandler's a hell of a player. He one of my favorite players. And if I get me a guy who's going to play defense and rebound, two of the most unselfish aspects of basketball. And the third thing, Nick Saban, I saw him one time. I was watching, and this guy kept messing up in practice. And the coach says, we're going to keep doing it till you get it right. And Saban says, time out, damn it. Time out, damn it. He says, we're at the University of Alabama. We're not going to do it till you get it right. We're going to do it so many times you don't get it wrong. I'm like, ooh, that's good right there.
That's good.
That's really that's good. And those three things, when I talk to kids, I say, yo, man, put your kids in a position to be successful and also practice something so much where they don't get it wrong. When I look at Michael, Kobe, LeBron, I don't want to leave anybody else out because I know Kareem's in that situation. He's an all-time great. I don't. Bill Russell, rest in peace, is an all-time great. But I never looked at him as a guy going to get me 20 points a night. I don't think he was a great offensive player. He was a great winner, rebounder, defender. But Michael, Kobe, and LeBron, those are three guys that I've came to close and says, oh, that's a perfect player right there.
You know what? And I agree with you. And I think, to be honest with you, I think that's the three in order. I think, like, for LeBron, he's a marvel. He's a Marvel character. We've never seen somebody this athletic with that kind of basketball intelligence, right? We've never seen that in one player. Kobe, you watch him, you're like, man, I want to go work in my game. Look how he's how graceful it looks. Look how he's hitting these fadeaways. He's so sharp. And so he's a tactician on the court. When you watch Michael, it's like you're seeing somebody from another planet. Like, he allows you to dream. Even if you watch his highlights in fast motion, it feels like slow motion with music going. He just allows you to dream. And that's the separator for the three for me. But you're right. I think those three are three of the best ever played.
You know, I remember when I went to the Olympic trials in 1984, they started out with 120 players, probably 50, 60 Hall of Famers 100 years later. We started out with 120. We went to 100, 80, 60, 40, 20. And I remember going to the airport, Terry Porter, John Stockton, me and Karl Malone, we were some of the last guys cut. But when I got back to college, my coach says, who's the best player there? I said, dude, there's this black dude from North Carolina. I said, coach, I ain't never seen anything like it in my life. I says, he's a little taller than me. He's about 6'6". He can outrun everybody. He can outjump everybody. I says, it's one of the most amazing things. And I says, and I'm in the SEC, so I'm used to playing against those boys at Kentucky. I'm used to playing against those boys at Florida and over at Georgia. I said, so I'm used to playing against talented players. But when I got a chance to see Michael play for a week, I was like, coach, I ain't never seen anything like this dude. So, man, him, LeBron, and Kobe, I tell people, yeah, those guys, they were perfect basketball players.
So you were second best player in 84 and then the second best player in the Dream Team in 92 as well. So 8-year gap, you were right there with the best.
Yeah, you know, the best thing ever happened to me was Moses Malone, Jamal. Him taking the time to help me lose 50 pounds changed the entire landscape of my life. Who's the vet? Who was that, your vet, to help you like that?
Ooh, well, I had Rick Brunson, Kendall Gill, Scottie Pippen. I had Fred Hoiberg, but you remember my first 2 years with the Bulls, we were the baby Bulls back-to-back years. So I feel like we had the youngest team in the league back-to-back years. So we were the blind leading the blind. And that's why it's so important to have vets. like in any aspect of life, anything you want to do, it's important to have those vets or those OGs that show you the way. Being on time is being early, you know, not eating McDonald's after practice. Those type of things that turn into a year or two to a career, and you can be very successful with that.
Couple of things before we let you go. We're in the last minute here, so you still using a BlackBerry and not a smartphone?
No, I'm on a smartphone.
Oh. Do you still have an iPod?
I have an iPod, though. I have to be honest with you. But the smartphone feels like I have a spaceship. I get up in the morning excited just to play with it. It feels like a spaceship.
Last thing, and Jason, who's running our jib camera here, wants to know, what's the trophy over your right shoulder?
Oh, that's the Paul Allen Humanitarian Award. Nice. I actually got that last year in Seattle. And, you know, he did so much in the community here. And, you know, when you do stuff like that, you're not doing it for awards. So to be able to be recognized for what you do in the community and how you're trying to inspire people and uplift people is that, to me, that's like, it's the best award I've ever won, not trying to win one.
You're a good man. I've known that since my first conversation with you the night before the draft of 2000, man. And this young guy comes up and I'm like, wow, that's like the most mature kid of the draft right there, man, alive. You were wise beyond your years and poised beyond your years. And man, what a great career. And we're thrilled to have you as a teammate.
And I'm teammates with you guys. This is like a dream come true. I'm not jaded or like, yeah, I'm on that big time show. Like, I am absolutely stoked to be with you guys. So thank you so much for inviting me.
Appreciate you, my brother.
Appreciate you being on the steam room, and we'll you have to do it again next week and the week after and the week after. And they didn't tell you that.
Yeah, I'm here.
Thanks, man.
I'm here.
Appreciate you, Jamal.
I'm a steam room pod subscriber.
All right, Jay Cross.
That's awesome, man. What a good dude. Hell of a career. 20 years.
Yes, sir.
Man.
20 years is a long time.
But you know how smart he is? You're talking about telling guys don't eat McDonald's. Mm-hmm. You know, drink.
You guys
water.
Couldn't have been teammates. We'll be back.
You're correct.
Welcome back to the Steam Room. So we had Jamal Crawford on.
Yes. Welcome addition to the family.
To tip off season 4. And this year, we welcome back a legend.
Thank you, Ernie.
The legendary longtime producer of Inside the NBA.
What's the matter, Chuck?
You know
why
what,
does it always
TK?
Bother you?
Tim Kiley, that just it just rolls off the way when I say the legendary longtime producer of Inside the NBA. It just has a way of just rolling
poetry,
off your tongue.
It's just
it is.
A legend out there for anything.
I am.
That's my point. That's my point.
I know.
Okay,
I am.
Okay. I am. How are you doing, Mr. Kiley?
I'm good, Chuck. I just want to know how insufferable he's going to be if the Phillies go any further.
Oh, my.
Let me tell you something. I'm going to wear me a Hoskins jersey in here.
Reese Hoskins.
Yep.
How do you spell Reese, by the way?
Yes, spell Reese.
R-H-Y-S.
Nice.
You know,
so you're not just a fair weather fan.
No. This has been one of the most improbable runs maybe ever. Because I was like, they can't beat the Cardinals.
They did.
Then they beat the Braves. Now, I expected the Padres. I was like, we can beat the Padres. But us getting past, because I thought, I actually picked the Braves to win the World Series. But for us, now I'm actually torn. I'm not going to lie.
Wow.
Because Dusty Baker.
Yeah. Yes.
Is a great person.
The best.
Only thing missed on his resume is the World Series.
As a manager.
As a manager.
That's right.
Yeah, but, 1-1 as a player and 81, I believe.
And he's lost twice.
Yep.
What are you thinking?
Astros.
Yeah, they got some pitching, boy.
So, hey.
7-0 so far in the postseason.
Hey, no, we say.
I'm not saying it's going to be a sweep, but man, they do. They throw some arms at you, and they've gone 7-0 with Jose Altuve, you know, going what? 2 or 3 for 30-something? I mean.
So you're saying they're due for a loss or two?
No, I'm saying Altuve is due to get hot.
Man, he was 0 for 26.
At one point.
At one point.
Astros are a very complete
they
team.
Are.
If the Phillies beat them, that would be a stunner to me.
Yeah, we hear the stun.
Okay. We. Sorry, TK. Go
no,
ahead.
No, I wanted to hear the expertise from you. I just knew it would be baffling
from
him.
No, so. First of all, there you go again. Let's get this out the way right off the bat. There's no such thing as an expert, okay?
All right. Only
it's
God
a person's
so.
Opinion.
All right.
That's
I
my
got
opinion.
You.
Okay.
Summer vacation, what'd you do?
Nothing but hang out with little Henry.
The Hammer and Hank.
Yeah.
Hey, I we talked about this a little bit earlier. Ernie and Clark told me it was going to be the greatest thing ever happened to me, and it is. But you know what's even better? The Chucks are playing some golf right now.
Oh, yeah.
The Chucks are is balling right now.
I heard you got a sack of money from somewhere.
Yeah, he did.
Let's just say this.
He did.
I want to give a shout out, and I mean it sincerely, to Ernie Johnson, who I get the pleasure and honor of working with every week. Kenneth, the Jet Smith. You know, working with these guys for all these years now, they make work fun. And this is probably painful right now. Even this big, fat, lard-ass Shaq. I have the greatest job in the world. So I want to thank those guys. But also,
right back at you, too.
That's right.
That's what they yeah. We have a good thing yeah. going. Here.
I want to thank
you. We all want to be you, part of it.
Jeremy. You know, obviously, my two road dogs. I need money if I'm going to go out with Alex and Underdog
yeah,
to pay for
I know,
their drinking.
They're carrying.
So I'm probably going to need a raise the way Underdog be drinking. but I just want to thank every single person, the people who work on the steam room, thank you, but also everybody who works on the show for the last 21, going on 22 years. So even though I'm blessed to get that, I just want to thank every single person. You know, obviously, you know, you got the people upstairs that on the steam room. And so thank everybody, but especially the guys I'm on the show with.
Listen, Audrey was kind enough to put together a little list. You know, we all like lists with you. With the supposed sack of money that you received, you could buy 25,031,000 dozen original glazed donuts at Krispy Kreme. 25 million dozen boxes.
Let's just go for 12 and cut out the middle band.
All right, okay.
I told you, man, did I tell you the day that I had the 12 donuts?
Yeah.
And I broke it up into three meals? It was one Sunday. It was one Sunday about 5 years ago.
Yeah, five years.
I said, it was about 5 years ago, if I remember correctly. It was one Sunday morning. I said, I just want some Krispy Kreme. So I ordered a dozen. Mm. I went and got a dozen. And I says, I'm going to break it up into three meals. That's all I eat that whole day. But you know, I had some restraint. I broke it up into three meals. I didn't eat them all at one time. I ate some about 9 o'clock in the morning. I ate some about 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And I ate about 7 o'clock at night. It was a great meal day.
And you're very proud of that.
I am proud of that. I could have ate them all at one sitting because I told you, boy.
I've seen you do that.
When that hot sign on.
It's over.
Woo, your car just going to that little hot sign. That hot sign is dangerous.
How are the nails?
I got a mani-pedi yesterday.
Well, you could get 4,444,000 gel pedicures with foot scrub at your favorite nails place in Midtown.
Well, I did.
4 million. This is with your bag.
So I got a mani-pedi yesterday. I'm so glad you said it. Don't they look delicious, America?
Yeah. Walked in there and said, I just broke a nail carrying my bags in here.
Ernie, this one will be good, though. After paying a membership fee, you could afford annual dues at Augusta National for 28,000 years. You still need an invitation. Hopefully Ernie can get you that. But 28,000 years, you'd be a member. At Augusta
I got to give out a shout to one of my neighbors.
Here comes a name drop.
Jason Brady.
Okay.
I think I told you this, Ernie. Last year during the playoffs, TK, mm-hmm. I got to play Augusta National.
Yeah.
It was amazing.
He told me it's life-changing.
I flew down there just to play it for the day. It was incredible. Saw Coach Lou Holtz there. Always good to see Coach Holtz. I saw Ryan Smith, the owner of the Jazz. But I was so nervous and excited. The two members hooked me up. Ernie, I was thinking to myself, Tiger, Jack Nicklaus, Gary Player, Arnold Palmer, Tom Weisskopf,
Bobby Jones,
Rory, Justin Thomas. Like, everybody
here.
Everybody who's ever played golf walked those grounds. And because, you know, it's like me. When I go around older NBA players, I thank them a lot for all the heavy lifting they did for me. I'm smart. Like, if you know, Spencer Haywood and all those guys, Bill, Mr. Russell, all those old players, man, they did a lot of heavy lifting. But when I was at Augusta, I was thinking about, man, all these guys who walk these grounds, it's sacred.
Yep. It's an awesome place.
It is. It is the best. And I'll say this one. I don't know if we can get in on this, Ernie. You can't make this up. The Christiana Mall of Newark, Delaware, is under talks for a private sale. The majority shareholder just sold his stake for $200 million. So you into buying your daughter's
mall?
Mall?
No.
The mall that you named your daughter after?
No, it's a great mall.
$200 million? Who knows? No, maybe no, business picks
no,
up.
No. You know, America's full of lazy people. Everybody's ordering stuff online right now. You know I hate that, too.
Yeah.
I tell people, if you're too lazy to go shopping, you shouldn't be buying stuff. I've never bought anything online.
You also never used an ATM.
You're a knucklehead, man.
Hey, if you too.
That's the way it is these days.
Hey, get off your fat ass and go to the mall.
Yeah, right. Have you seen a lot of malls these days?
I go to the store. Yeah, man, because people like you are just clicking on a button. Yeah,
that's
I'm getting the hook, Chuck. The music's coming.
Man, alive.
Glad to be back, y'all.
Hey, you know
it's great
what?
Great to be back. Thanks.
That segment, thanks, TK, Jeff. Legendary.
Isn't it, though? Steffordless.
Chuck and Ernie in Steam Room. Come and join us in Steam Room. Chuck and Ernie in Steam Room. Leave your towel on in Steam Room.
Chuck and Ernie in Steam Room. Chuck and Ernie in Steam Room. Leave your towel on in the Steam Room.
That cracks you up every time.
Every time.
Your rendition of the Steam Room.
My man
theme.
From Phoenix, Arizona.
Yeah. Hey, do you remember the number for your answering machine?
No. 404.
Yeah.
Just dial 404, anything, it'll come through.
987-0330. Now, here's my question to Cap, who's, you will not be able to hear his answer, so I'll relay it. While we were in hiatus.
There you go, Ernie. Big word.
While we were in hiatus, were people still calling the Chuck's answering machine?
Wait, why can't you tell both of us? Why you got to just talk to you?
Because I'm talking to him. The box was full. We had to empty it. Okay.
Okay.
Apparently.
So now we just got four new ones, obviously?
No, we're just going to play a bunch of old ones. Yeah, these are new.
Well, he could have played some of the old ones. They might have been good. Oh, he probably just dumped them and didn't listen to them.
Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah.
We have a few. And here's the first one of season four.
Hello, world. This is Charles Barkley. Leave me a message.
Hey, Chuck. My name is Mukesh. Go to India. My question to you is, how do you handle criticism over the media and you still be happy? I'm so proud of you, Chuck. Please answer my question. Thank you.
First call from India. Wondering how you handle media.
I want to go to India one day.
Yeah.
That's on my bucket list.
Okay. How do you handle media criticism?
Well, the first thing you have to ask yourself is the criticism fair? That's the first thing about criticism. You can't overreact to criticism because some guys in the media have an axe to grind. They just don't like you. They don't like a certain player. They don't like a certain team. So you just ignore that. But I learned this from Dr. J. Because when I first became a star, I think it was like my third year in the NBA, because they didn't write about me in my first 2 years. Mm-hmm. They criticized Doc, Moses, Maurice Cheeks, Andrew Toney, those guys. And then, so my third year, I became the leader, the best player on the team. And so it was a shock to my system when I got criticized. But he asked me a question. He says, is the criticism fair? And I said, what do you mean? He says, some criticisms are not fair. But he says, the first thing you have to do is ask yourself, is the criticism fair? Then you can answer the question. And sometimes criticisms are fair, and sometimes they're not. So my man from India, that's the first question you have to ask yourself about any criticism. Is it fair?
So if it's not fair, do you just blow it off? But if it is fair, I mean, are you looking at it and read it and say, you know what? He's right. He's got a point.
And then you make the adjustment.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's the key. If it's fair, you make the adjustment.
Good.
If it's not, keep it going.
What's this mean?
Just let just it go keep over your it head.
Just keep it going?
Over your head.
I thought. Okay.
Thought you was talking about your hair.
yes, or yours. Next.
Hey, Chuck. This is Jenny, loyal steamer from Southern Oregon. And I want you guys to do the R-rated drunk Barkley cast after dark. And I got a name for it. Bark After Dark. I would definitely watch. Thanks for everything. I love your show. It's my favorite.
Bark After Dark.
R-rated
version of what? Oh, of the Manning cast. Oh, like a Manning cast kind of deal.
Oh, boy, that would be fun, wouldn't it?
It would be.
That would be fun.
And I like the name. It's put some thought into that.
And can I give a shout out to Peyton and Eli?
Sure.
Because, you know, those guys with that Manning cast, I saw they had President Obama on the other night.
Yeah, when the Bears were playing.
But those guys are doing a fabulous job. Shout out to the Manning brothers.
Yeah, it was fun. It was fun to watch.
All right, we got to get Obama on here. President Obama.
Pull some strings. You were in his office one day.
Yeah.
Pull some strings.
I don't even know how to get in touch with him.
Well.
Who do you call to get in touch with him?
You were in his office. You didn't get his digits?
I don't think the president just get a regular riff-raff their phone number.
Hmm. That's very disappointing. Hey.
Mr. President, can I have your number?
Let me know.
You
say, hey, I'm going to give you my number. Here, you ring that. Here's my number. And then when you call it, I'll have your number.
I don't think he calls him his regular number. He has one his underlings call.
See, all of this stuff you could have investigated when you were in there.
Ernie, let me tell you something. If you walk up to the president personally and ask him for his phone number, you're an idiot. First of all, you got to go through layers. You know that.
You could have tried.
You know how much I love President Obama, but
you could have tried.
We're not that cool where I can say, hey, Mr. President, can I get your cell?
You could have tried.
Okay. Thank you, Ernie.
Next call.
Hi, guys. This is Sully from Pasadena, single working mom, and I am watching Ted Lasso. Ernie.
Yeah.
I should have listened to you a long ago. I miss you guys. I said, you know what? I'm going to watch Ted Lasso. I'm on the second season, and they just made a reference to Charles Barkley's golf swing. I had to stop and call you guys. You know they have to be steamers. I miss you guys. Can't wait to hear the podcast daily.
We appreciate that. Yeah. And I'm telling you, everything I've said about Ted Lasso is absolutely, it's the absolute truth. Best show I've ever watched.
I'm a big Ted Lasso fan. First of all, is it Hannah Waddington, the owner?
Yeah, I believe so.
I have a crush on her. She's just awesome. Jason is, you know, we want Jason on the podcast. We want two Jasons.
We want Jason Sudeikis for sure.
And we want Jason Momoa.
Okay.
Because remember we did on the show last week, we did LeBron versus Father Time?
Yeah, we did.
Man, I love me some Jason Momoa. If we can get Jason Sudeikis and Jason Momoa on the show. Ernie, you can get that. You're the godfather.
You know what? I'm supposed to. I have a friend who is very tight with Jason Sudeikis. And we spoke last year about, hey, and he said, oh, I can get him on your show. And they were right in the middle of shooting. And then our season ended. So I need to rekindle that. You know who it was?
Who?
Rex Chapman.
Come on, Rex.
I don't
Rex.
Know what kind of strings we have to pull,
Come
but
on,
we
Rex.
Want him on here. We definitely want him.
Come on,
here.
Rex. You know how I feel about you.
It's
Come
such
on.
A good show.
It's a great show. And hopefully we can have Hannah Waddington on too.
There you go.
Yes.
There you go.
And Jason Momoa.
Okay. Any other Jason you'd like?
I'm trying to
think.
Who is it? Jason Bateman? Did he want Jason Bateman?
Oh, Ozark.
Yeah, Jason Bateman.
Oh, man.
Come on.
Jason's a good acting name.
Yeah,
apparently.
I'm trying to think. But that was three of them.
Yeah. And it's Halloween. That's another Jason.
First of all, time out. Time out, America. I just want to say this. Please stop the Michael Myers Halloween things. It's please stop. I mean,
are they scaring you?
First of all, I like Jamie Lee Curtis, but she's up to like 102 years old in the last one. I want y'all to stop. Michael Myers been killed like 12, 13
That's
times.
That's what
by
you
now.
Thought.
Yeah, please stop the Halloweens, y'all. Please stop the Halloweens. You can come up with some other scary stuff, but no more Halloweens.
Last call.
Hey, it's me again, Mr. Richardson. I came on the show a while ago. I stole your Inside the NBA ideas and made Inside Room 305 in my fourth grade classroom. Yes. Your season's starting soon, and my season kicking in soon with my kids. Still teaching them the ropes and how to do this program we do that I've stolen from you guys. And I stole from you guys again. Like, I brought your world in my classroom, so I decided to bring my world into podcasting. So I got together with two other teacher friends, one I've known since I was six. I thought of like a teacher-themed pop culture podcast, Bells Between Segments. And we tried to be ourselves because we goof around and joke all the time. I've known them for years. And just like you guys, I said, no, let's keep that because that's what's fun. That's what's engaging, the way we banter because we're all friends. So, once again, I've stolen from you one more time. Again, please don't sue me. I'm a teacher with student loans, so you won't get any money. I'm glad you got picked up for season four. Congratulations. Can't wait to listen. Talk to you guys later.
Thanks, Mr. Richardson. And I'm calling my agent and my attorney and having them back off.
Number one, man, you know how I feel about teachers. Your daughter's one.
Yes, indeed.
She's a saint.
Yeah, she is.
Yeah, but I always tell people, man, teachers amazing. Number one, brother, hook us up on the podcast.
Yeah, that would be fun to be on their podcast.
It'd be fun to be on the podcast.
That would be.
I mean, I would.
So he's listening to this. He's going to say, hey.
Oh, yeah. Hey, he'll
call Cap and Cap will give him our.
I can't speak for Ernie, but yeah. I would love to appear on the podcast because my love for teachers, you know, I think about Ms. Robinson, Ms. Turk, Ms. Hill, Mr. Honeycutt, Coach Copeland. Coach Copeland and Coach Honeycutt, they were saints in Leeds, Alabama. Mm-hmm. Man, I've had some great teachers. Ms. Robinson was amazing. Rest in peace. So, man, yeah, I would love to appear on that podcast.
Yeah, see, he and I have been swapping some emails down through the last several months.
And he ain't asked us to be on the podcast?
Come on, now.
But you know what's amazing?
Just text me and say, hey, here's when I want you to be on the podcast.
And you know what's amazing about having a podcast with teachers? You pretty much got unlimited. Like, you can have a teacher come on and talk about every subject.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
would you like to talk to a geography teacher or something?
Yeah, you know, I've been mad at Ms. Gomez since high school because I flunked Spanish. And on my bucket list, Spanish is number one on my bucket list. I got to learn. You knew that, didn't you?
Stop it. Ernie, because you've been saying that for 20 years.
I've been busy.
Years.
I've been busy.
That's the greatest line of all time. You've been saying it's on your bucket list for 20 years.
I gotta
learn.
I've
been busy.
I gotta learn Spanish.
Yeah.
Because Miss Gomez, I used to be really angry at Miss Gomez for flunking me in Spanish. But I realized when I grew up and matured, it was my fault. So
Way to own that. That's good. Hey, that's episode one of season four of The Steam Room.
Thank y'all, callers.
What a pleasure it is to be back
it
with
is.
Y'all. Thank you, loyal steamers, and we'll see you again next week for more fun and games and hijinks.